Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun, to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust settlement verdict of July 2013, and we'd like to remind you that you can choose to become a $10 monthly sponsor to Sign of the Times. You can do that via our PayPal account at signothetimes19@gmail.com. Use our email address and simply make a PayPal donation. You also can send it via U.S. Postal Service And our mailing address is 1623 Dalton Street, D-A-L-T-O-N, number 14939, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45250. Again, our mailing address for Sign of the Times, New Power Radio Network, and, of course, the UAC is 1623 Dalton Street, number 14939, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45250. We also ask that you please support our sponsors, Manhood Raising Culture, headed up by my beloved co-host, Dr. James Jones. You can hit him up as James Jones on Facebook, as well as like and group page for Manhood Raising Culture, and, of course, on the World Wide Web at manhoodraisedculture.com. Also, please reach out to Arlie Gordon of Unity Design, and Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. Please go to his web page as well, unitydesign.com, and support him so that he can continue to support the youth of the Motor City. And, of course, we never want to forget our confined brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines. Please reach out to Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement on Facebook, respectively, and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. So tonight is a somber anniversary for us all, and I'm going to go ahead and open up my co-host, Sister Andreon Tucker of Holistic Health and Healing by Sister Andreon on Facebook. Check her out. Look up wonderful videos there, and I guarantee you will learn something. You will learn something. You will learn something. Peace, Sister Andreon. How are you doing tonight?
Many peace and blessings. All is well.
Ashe, ashe. So you're back to your, I guess, what is this, like your third home, Thailand? Is that your third home?
Yeah, this is a short visit, though. I'm actually heading back to the state in, in a few days, Wednesday or Thursday. And then going to a really quick conference in North Carolina with some more natural entrepreneurs there. And they, like one sister, she makes body butters and shampoos and stuff, Miss Nikki. And I just tried her stuff. So I'm like, I got to go meet this woman.
Oh, sweet.
And then,
sweet.
It's going to be a longer stay away from my beloved Thailand for a bit. I'll probably get back here in the summer, if not definitely as it gets cooler in the States, because mama can't take cold.
Look, you know, the older I get, I'm the same way. I, you know, there's business everywhere. Like, we've got comrades across the U.S., but every time I think about going up north to, like, build and stay for a period of time, I'm like, Cincinnati's cold enough. Like, I couldn't imagine being on lakefront snow like they get in Cleveland or New York or even Chicago even. They get way more snow and colder weather than we do here, so. Yeah, I can't. I'm with you. I don't need to be somewhere warm, too.
I'm checking out some spots in Central America. I want to get, to be honest, I just want to get around a little bit more of my people. I love it here. I love, and I made, you know, great friends, and it's just beautiful people here. But we're going to check out some spots, like in Belize, particularly, to set up maybe another camp there.
Sweet. I hear good things about Belize.
No rest for the weary. And so I've done a lot of research on Belize over the years, and it's just kind of had a special place that in my heart, and I haven't been able to get down there yet. Well, no time like the present.
That's right. I added you to this Black Travel group, too. They go a little bit of everywhere, too, so I'm sure you'll find some camaraderie there.
I've already chatted with a few sisters who they're a little hesitant about going to solo, and I'm like, hey, don't worry, you know. And everybody's asking me about the biggest question that comes up is how safe is it to travel for first a Black person, but second a Black woman, a single Black woman. I'm like, compared to what, United States, really?
I've been
in the jungles of Uganda walking in pitch black and never had a care, you know. It's like, no, I think you guys would be all right, you know. Yeah, are they prejudiced? I'm like, again, according to what?
Yeah, comparative to what, right.
Will they stare? Yes, they'll stare, because, you know, most a lot of other cultures are more homogenous. So yeah, they'll stare at you, but it's out of curiosity. And once you flash a, you know, once you flash a smile, they're all in. They're gonna want to come and inquire about where you come from. They just don't get a lot of us, unfortunately. Worldwide has been, you know, they've been taught to see and view us in certain lights. You know, we kind of talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you know, and so they don't know anything but that. So when they see you, they're like, oh, wait a minute, we got a real one. Let's go see. And, you know, they're inevitably, they'll, out of curiosity, they're going to, you know, engage you just to see where you're from. You know, they don't know a lot of Black Americans that, you know, to get there, to get out of Black America. They know, you know, Africans will get to travel. In fact, the first thing Africans do when they do get monetary resources is travel, but that's not necessarily the case for Black Americans. So I just encourage everybody, just get your passports. Your options just blows once you have a passport in your hand, because once you get it in your hand, you start thinking and dreaming about all of the possibilities out in the world. I mean, just having it, you know, you just start thinking, you know, what can I do? Where am I going? My mom has a passport. She just recently got one. And, she, you know, she doesn't want to really get around like that, you know, as she's getting older. But she's got a passport in her hand sitting in front of, you know, the computer screen asking me, where are we going next? So, you know, I'm all with that. Cause, you know, yeah, your mind just opens up once you just have it in your hand, you know, because then you can visualize and imagine that you can go places, you know. So I just encourage everybody just explode those opportunities and those options. You never know. You know, somebody may just, you know, bring you along.
Hey, I like that hint. It was a sister. I saw a really quick video of a sister, and she was in an Asian country. I'm not sure exactly where she was, but as she and her children were walking, it was her, and she had a baby in the stroller, and then a girl who might have been about 4 years old, and people were stopping her and talking to her, and they wanted to take a picture with her, and some of the people were saying, like, is this offensive? Like, should we be offended because they're gawking the way they are? But to hear you explain it like the way you just did, it makes sense. Like, they would be curious. Like, I would be curious too.
Right, right. Because we would take offense of that here in this country, you know. But then not so much. Again, like I was in China and then in Tibet, and you know, they have so little reference for us. You know, I'm walking down this, you know, in Tibet and Lhasa, and because they don't know us, you know, somebody said Rihanna, and I'm like, so I'm walking with one of my travel partners, and I'm like, okay, let's bang up. I'll just start dancing in the street. And I don't look like Rihanna.
You got that
open up to be me. Yeah, mama, grandmama, whatever. But they don't have that reference.
Oh my God.
Another time, you know, I'm in Vietnam and people are, you know, trying to sneak pictures or whatever. I just photobombed them. I mean, I just make light of it and just have a good time with it, you know, because they and some of them don't know how, if it's offensive or not. So that's where they're kind of sneaking a picture here and there. But they don't have, again, they don't have that reference. And they're curious.
Wow.
You know, so it's no.
And then mainstream media too, sis. We got to consider that too. Like that's worldwide, and some of the buffoonery that they might have seen, or you know, there's no telling what they really aren't exposed to. Yeah, it gives them an image, so they, you know.
Yeah, they have a cartoon image, and you know, they have a cartoon image of a dark melanated person, tight curly hair. Supposedly a male figure, it's a cartoon, in the jungles of Thailand, with this flower in his hair, and they're not sure if they want to make him a ladyboy or not. He's, you know, definitely emasculated, but he's just a buffoon of, you know, of all, like, bad luck, goofiness. That's their coon, you know, and because that's the image they got years ago, you know, and so because they do have that, they are, you know, they have their own color struckness here. You know, they're people dark as night here, and then there's people that are, you know, the pale, typical kind of like Chinese that we would think of, and so they have their own color struckness here. So that fit right into their manipulation, really. You know, that being able to be manipulated by that type of exposure, that media exposure, that again, that programming. And so, you know, the kids want to come and put flowers in my hair. And at first I didn't catch it. I'm like, what's going on? You know, and I'm like, okay, thank you for the flowers. And, you know, I look into it a little bit and they're like, oh, yeah, they think you're, I forget the name of the character, but they think you're that or you're close to that, you know, because of my kinky, you know, hair. And so, again, no, they mean no disrespect. These are, you know, kids. But then on the other hand, it's like, okay, guys, you know, no flower in the hair. Thank you for the flowers. You know, I kind of have to, you know, separate myself from that and then give them a little, you know, English schooling on it, you know. So, but, you know, you do what you can and you just enjoy life. And you do have to understand that a lot of other melanated people around the world have perceptions of you. They're not true, but it's not always necessary to take immediate offense, just as we should not take immediate offense against, you know, our brothers and sisters here for those little things. Just take a step back and see where they're coming from, see where they get it from. And then, you know, then you can better turn the situation around if you need to, or, you know, that's that conflict resolution, you know, sit down and talk it out. It's like, okay, where'd you get it from? You know, how can we get past this? And, you know, just to let you know, I'm not this, you know, because we are afraid of each other here in the United States. When I say here, we're afraid of each other, you know, so where's that come from? That's not us, you know, pulling those puppet strings. That's how we've been influenced.
Mm-hmm. It's deep. It's like, a friend of mine and I were talking about the extremism of our behavior nowadays, and this is probably a good way to segue into tonight's conversation, because I want to start talking about Prince, you know, speaking on the issue of abuse. As we know, you know, the issue of abuse can come in many shapes, forms, and fashions. It can be physical, spiritual. You know, you can have drug abuse. There's all kinds of ways that abuse can come into play. And then we have an issue of control. You know, how much of this society do we really have control over as African people, especially, and especially here in the U.S.? And so it's like, you know, we've got this issue of not only having to overcome the hurdles of, you know, having a culture that was stripped from us and remembering and restoring that. But we also have some real major healing to do. And so in dealing with tonight's topic as it relates to Prince, looking at Prince, there are people who will never believe, and I was close to never believing that it was possible for Prince to have succumbed to an addiction. But the more and more I look at him, the more and more I hear about circumstances, you know, around prior to his death, there was definitely something going on. And even when you are in that stage, just from being in the community as long as I've been, there's only so much people who are around you can do. Like, that person has to really want help. So I'd like to read this real quick. It's about maybe about a good four paragraphs, and it deals with the last period of Prince's life. It says, Prince saw Dr. Michael T. Schulenberg at Twin City Specialist in a Twin City Specialist in Family Medicine in Excelsior on April the 7th, and again on April the 20th. On April 7th, Prince postponed two performances at Fox Theater in Atlanta from his piano and a microphone tour. The venue released a statement saying that he had influenza. Prince rescheduled and performed the show on April 14th, even though he still was not feeling well. While flying back to Minneapolis early the next morning, he became unresponsive, and his private jet made an emergency landing at Quad City International Airport in Moline, Illinois, where he was hospitalized and received Narcan, but he left against medical advice. Representatives said he suffered from dehydration and influenza for several weeks. Prince was seen bicycling the next day in his hometown of Chanhassen, or however you say it. He shot that evening at Electric Fetus in Minneapolis for a record store day and made a brief appearance at an impromptu dance party at Paisley Park Recording Studio Complex, stating that he was feeling fine. On April 19th, he attended a performance by singer Liz Wright at Dakota Jazz Club. On April 20th, Prince's representative called Dr. Howard Comfield, a California specialist in addiction medicine and pain management, seeking medical help for Prince. Cornfield scheduled to meet with Prince on April 22nd. And he contacted a local physician who cleared his schedule for a physical examination on April 21st. On April 21st at 9:43 a.m., the Carver County Sheriff's Office received a 911 call requesting that an ambulance be sent to Prince's home at Paisley Park. The caller initially told the dispatcher that an unidentified person at the home was unconscious. I got an echo, so I'm going to have to mute you for a second.
Okay.
Sheriff's office received a 911 call requesting that an ambulance be sent to Prince's home at Paisley Park. The caller initially told the dispatcher that an unidentified person at the home was unconscious, then moments later said that he was dead and finally identified the person as Prince. The caller was Dr. Cornfield's son, who had flown in with, and you might have to help me with this pronunciation, but it's Buprenorphine, buprenorphine or something, I don't know, that morning to devise a treatment plan for opioid addiction. Emergency responders found Prince unresponsive in an elevator and performed CPR. A paramedic said he had been dead for at least 6 hours, and they were unable to revive him. They pronounced him dead at 10:07 a.m., 19 minutes after their arrival. There were no signs of suicide or foul play. A press release from the Midwest Medical Examiner's Office. From the Midwest Medical Examiner's Office in Anoka County on June 2nd stated that Prince had died of an accidental overdose of fentanyl at the age of 57. It is not yet known whether Prince obtained the fentanyl by a prescription or through an illicit channel. However, the question of how and from what source Prince obtained the drug, which led to his demise, is the subject of investigations by several law enforcement agencies. A sealed search warrant was issued for his estate, and another unsealed warrant was issued for the local Walgreens pharmacy. Now, that's the last place I've seen him at when he was getting in a chauffeur truck at Walgreens. Following an autopsy, his remains were cremated on April 26th. Prince's sister, his only full sibling, Tyka Nelson, filed court documents. Thank you, baby. In Carver County to open an probate case stating that no will had been found. Prince's five half siblings, and it goes to their claim to the estate. And within 3 weeks after his death, 700 people claimed to be half siblings or descendants. Brenner Trust was given temporary control over the estate, and an authorized blood sample was taken. Prince's cremated remains were placed into a custom 3D printed urn shaped like Paisley Park Estate. The urn was placed on display in the atrium of Paisley Park Complex in October of 2016.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot to say there. I don't want to get too far into conspiracy theory or anything like that. It is what it is. I guess we at this point kind of have to take the statements that they put out there. I looked up Bremer Trust, and they're kind of tight-lipped about, they keep their website specifically about you know, the services that they offer. And I'm sure that's with confidentiality and things like that to take into consideration. The Cornfield father-son team, when they flew in, they flew the son in.
I think you, did you mute yourself? Sister Andrea? Sister Adriana, I can't hear you. Hold on, everybody. Hey, check this out. I think this is a perfect time to play a little bit of Prince. So let's check out a little bit of music and give Sister Adriana an opportunity to call back in. You're listening to Sign of the Times, brought to you by the UAC and New Power Radio Network. Tonight we're talking about Prince, and we'd like to hear from you on any Prince memories you may have. And this was one of the first Prince songs that I heard on an 8-track tape and my auntie's Gran Torino. So enjoy the music. We're listening to Prince and dedicated tonight's broadcast to him. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Sign of the Times, everybody. That was Prince, Sexy Dancer. Welcome back, Sister Andrian.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm on what's that Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now? just to complete my point, I'm curious as to who has hold of all of his catalog. You know, all of what was contained in that vault. You know, because he had, you know, apparently a couple of thousand pieces of music and stuff in his vault. So I'm just curious, you know, as this trust kind of comes up out of nowhere, who has it? Does his sister have it? You know, and did she?
Yeah.
Actually, was she the one that even hired him? Was this suggested by Arista, Warner Brothers? You know.
Mm-hmm.
And getting control of, because that fight went for a long time. That was almost a 20-year fight he had with Warner Brothers over control of his music. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
They had some, not, you know, I'm not saying they were involved in, but, you know, not necessarily to be ruled out. We don't know. We just don't know. But they obviously, for them to put up an 18-year fight, they knew how valuable he was, you know. And I just couldn't help. I'm just up dancing. It's like 5:30 in the morning here. I don't care. My name is like catching Prince.
It looks like Universal was the most prominent figure in willing to buy. But I also heard Jay-Z. So it looks like they went with Universal back in November. I'm finding an article dated November 2nd of 2016. Universal Music Publishing Group announced Wednesday, November 2nd, that it is the exclusive worldwide publishing administrator for Prince Entire and a fucking pop-up ad.
Wow.
Wait a second.
I wonder if Miss Tyka has any control of that, you know, because she is a blood relative. She's the closest blood relative. So I wonder if she's in on that, or did they write her off, squeeze her out, you know?
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything that mentions her. It says, according to the announcement, Universal Music Group is responsible for servicing and administering Prince's expansive catalogs of songs, both released and unreleased.
Yeah, because Prince was doing some pretty dynamic things in acquiring assets too, kind of like Michael Jackson. And I don't know, the one weird thing I just find interesting is the fact that, you know, Prince fought most of his adult life to protect his works. And then it comes onto this, you know. And he fought for, you know, all sorts of independent artists like Chaka Khan. He, you know, where when she came through with her revival was through Paisley Park, you know, and a lot of other artists, you know, and he was teaching them how to come forth into the music industry in their own accord, you know, in their own square, controlling their own stuff. So I just find it just crazy ironic that, you know, his works end up like this.
Yes, sis. I mean, and it's, you know, like you were saying with Michael, there's too many similarities to me between what happened with Prince and what happened with Michael. You know, after such a long, hard fight to, like you said, claim what's rightly theirs, and we know Michael had the Beatles collection, which Sony since has rebought. You know, it's the same theory around Bill Cosby and his purchase of what was it, NBC, he was getting ready to purchase, and all of a sudden the sex scandal hits. You know, it's like the petty bourgeoisie and the Europeans can do whatever the hell they want to do, as long as they want to do it. But you let somebody of African descent even look like they're about to excel into a certain paradigm of power, and we all of a sudden end up with a boatload of BS and controversy behind it. And I don't know. It just don't. It hasn't sat right with me since it happened. Because, like I said, I was one of those ones that, you know, would have sworn up and down that Prince would have never used drugs at all. But evidently, he was using something. Now the question becomes, did he really understand the dynamics of what he was using? If, you know, according to this latest report I heard on the TV the other day, that's when the fentanyl allegation really is just coming forward. Like that hasn't always been a part of the conversation, even though it's been suspected. And for them to treat him with Narcan, I always thought that Narcan was an antidote for heroin. You know, but is how close drug wise is fentanyl to heroin? Are they just kind of two different monsters of the same realm?
Powerful. There we go. Fentanyl is extremely powerful. They're all opiates. So they all actually go into the dopamine receptors part of the brain. So a lot of them are interchangeable depending on the patient or, you know, whoever is trying to come down or work through their addictions. Fentanyl, though, the interesting thing about that is that it can be administered in so many different ways. You got a patch, you got a lollipop, you got, you know, it can be blown in your face, really, as a powdered gas almost. And by that being just so extremely powerful, you know, I'm always leery of the media because I know that mainstream media always tries to spin things in a certain way, you know? yeah. So it's like, you know, these things, the way they're leaked out, you know, a year later, you know, 6 months later, they kind of put this piece out. And it's almost, you know, how timely is it to, you know, people getting back to loving Prince and you know, coming up with maybe, I don't know, conspiracy theories or the like. And then they throw and put this out kind of to quell the masses or something. You know, I don't know, because there was no official autopsy report brought to public. And considering it was only through the trust that the trust was the authorization of the autopsy. The trust was the authorization of the DNA samples. It was not through any of his family members or even associates. So we just don't know. You know, that's one of the things we just will never really know the truth about, because they're not going to be honest, whether he was or not, they're not going to let Prince go in this angelic light, you know, or they're not going to let him just go and be. They're always going to, you know, throw these little dark things in the path, you know, and take the money.
Yeah.
So, whether it's true or not, if they were righteous in their stance, you know, just release the autopsy report. Just release. I mean, the vault was open, but we don't know if there was a will in there. And honestly, as meticulous as Prince was previously, before I would say the last year of his life, he was so meticulous about his legal stance and standing in a state of independence. I mean, the man didn't he was a staunch, you know, vegan. Really, he was very strict about his diet, you know, so he didn't put things in his body, you know, and not, again, he toured heavy and stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me if he did have painkillers. But other than that, or aside from that, he was very meticulous about what he put in his body. So to have all of these other things come into play, I'm not sure about that. Maybe one or two, you know, okay, fine. But these things are more powerful. These things are more powerful than morphine, you know. So I'm like, I'm not sure about all of that. You know, yeah, he was in, you know, pain. He took some falls. He took some spills on stage. He worked out, you know, heavily when he did a tour. Still, you know. So there's nothing saying that he didn't have these things or take these things. And, you know, maybe even heavily took them, you know. But and it's just how is this information coming forward, you know, that I always just kind of check and question. Yeah.
It's crazy, Sister Andreana. Like, you know, I guess knowing what I know about people who are addicted, like it's there is a such thing as functioning addicts. You know, we all know that. Like, so, and I wouldn't doubt that he was in pain, considering he was getting a little bit older, and doing all the splits and stuff and jumping off of stuff for as long as he did. You know, eventually you gonna slow down. Like you gonna start to, you know, and he might have hurt himself. Like he was such a private person, he may have had an injury and just, you know, toughed it out, because at one point he was walking with the assistance of a cane. And it wasn't, I don't think that that was just a fashion statement. I think he actually kind of, you know, relied on it a little bit. But he was still strong with that swag, though. That swag didn't stop at all. That swag didn't
right.
stop at all.
I know, that's
so.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, that's right. I know when he, in, you know, in these past few years, he came out of the, you know, came out of the hill, but he still had swag. He still had the strut.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you gone, brother. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's you got me for life. It don't matter.
Yeah. I heard a comedian say one time that Prince was the only man that could dress like a woman and steal your woman. Like he was the only one that could pull it off. Like, yeah. If women around the world love
if
Prince.
I was your, I know.
Yeah.
And it, yeah. He there was no bounds left untouched for sure. Yeah.
That's
but
right.
Yeah, I love me some Prince. I remember my first Prince album. What was your first? What was the first time you heard Prince, and or you know, did you hear him right off the bat, or and run out and buy his album, or what was your first? How was Prince your first?
the first time I heard and saw Prince was on an 8-track tape that my auntie had in her. That's what I was saying before I played the song. I think I had cut out and came back, and that was the first time I had heard Prince on the 8-track. Cassette in my auntie's Gran Torino. She had one of the Starsky and Hutch cars. You know, those were really popular when Starsky and Hutch was actually on the air. And so that was the first time I ever saw or heard Prince, and I was in love at first sight. Like, I'd love for her to play that in her car. Yes, yeah. And so that was 1978 and the For You album. So what about you?
Yeah, of course that made we were all just like, ah, you know, Prince is a prince, you know, all that stuff. I remember that my first album, I actually, you know, scraped my money together to get Controversy. And for me, I think I wore grooves in that vinyl. I wore the whole set of grooves. My father would come through, playing it again, huh? I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Move me over to the side as I'm dancing. The controversy.
Okay, so that was 81. What grade were you in?
Yes. Let's see, 81. What? I was going into my senior year. So it was my junior, senior year in high school. Mhm.
Wow. Yeah. Sign of the Times came out my senior year. You know, right after my senior year. The movie came out, and oh my gosh, that was the best thing ever. I went to see that movie by myself because the tickets would sell out so fast.
Oh, right.
Like you could barely get one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to go see it by
That's
myself.
True.
I was like, I'm going. If I got to get one ticket and sit in the aisle, I'm going.
I remember standing. So, we did too, standing in line because it was just off of college campus, standing in line. And again, just missing the shows. And we're like, well, don't go home. Just keep standing in line until we get a show, you know? Because,
mm-hmm.
they would just sell out. We all in our purple, whatever we could find purple.
I say, did I say Purple Rain or Sign of the Times? I got Sign of the Times in my brain.
Oh, you said
did
purple,
I say Sign of the Times or Purple Rain?
But we all knew.
Purple Rain. Purple Rain. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, girl, look. You know, and I was saying last night when I played the soundtrack, like I played his music from 1978 to 86, I found it on a mix. And so it was phenomenal to listen to that last night and to have the opportunity to relive all the memories relative to the songs that were out at that time through Prince. And that's the thing that I appreciate and will probably miss about him. Because he was actually a part of my life. Like when I was in love, every Prince song that dealt with love sounded extra good to me. When I was out hanging out, partying, every Prince song that came out that had the party beat to it, it sounded extra good to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I've always been not just a fan, but I really appreciate and respect the talent that was displayed from the time he hit the door. You know, he came into the music industry letting folks know that he could play, he could sing, he could dance, he could do any and all of the things that it would require to make him a phenomenal artist, you know, not just a performer, not just a singer, you know, not just someone who played an instrument. He did all of those things and did them well. So that immediately set him apart.
Yep. And under the cherry moon, you know, that now he's breaking out into other things, you know, and this is all before he was 30.
Mm-hmm. Ashe.
He was just setting it on fire. Yeah, right? And we have artists now, bless their hearts, still trying to get there, trying to imagine that, you know. And they're like, if I could just do that before I'm 50, you know, and this man was just phenomenal and just, you know, just had the cojones to just get out there. It's like, you know what? Do it. I'll produce my own, you know. Like, you couldn't get any backers for Under the Cherry Moon. So it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'll do it myself.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, and he could, and he did. And, you know, that's something that I think that is contracted out. Some of the artists that we see now, I wonder often about Erykah Badu a lot, because she's multi-talented just like Prince is, but you don't really see her out in the mainstream of things. Like you would think for her to have that caliber of talent. Even when Prince separated himself from the quote-unquote mainstream industry, he still was putting out music, even if he had to put it out underground, and you can't help but respect that.
Lots of respect. And, I'm kind of surprised, honestly, that more of our artists aren't following suit. I mean, they don't, you know, him, along with many others, have just came out and said, you know, these are blood contracts. You know, you sign, you know, you thinking you're getting this great record deal, but you find all the way down the line, you're not getting paid until, you know, you got your third album and you out there humping, you know, doing all of these shows and everything. And, you know, they'll put you in a limousine here and there, whatever, and fly you around the world, but none of that money is coming into your pocket. You know, TLC, you know, is one of them. All of the, you know, artists that ran under P. Diddy, whatever he's calling himself now, they found that they weren't getting any of their proceeds of their hard work, you know, but they're having to perform because of these contracts. And I'm really kind of surprised that there's not more of us doing the self-published route, you know, in that arena.
Mm-hmm.
But, because technology being what it is,
it's just a matter of getting in the studio.
Right. Because we can, I mean, we come together, seem like, and you know, people have set up their studios, you know, in their rec rooms or extra spaces in their home. But then the first thing they do is they'll run to Sony or some representative of one of the, you know, distributors and say, hey, check out my track. And I mean, I get it in one instance because, like, you know, once Prince won the suit, his record play of mainstream, you know, media just tanked. You know, they didn't just tank, they just took him off because, you know, they're paying the piper, standing behind those sponsors. Those sponsors, you know, and those radio networks are not going to get paid for playing him and giving him airtime. And actually, they're probably told not to, you know. So I get it from the artist's point of view, but then because we are in this technological advanced society, I don't know if you need it. You know, I don't know if they need that type of sanction that they think they need, you know, because, you know, you got a good track and underground, it can spread. You know, we're past the days of the artists on the street corner pandering their, you know, their cassette tapes and, you know, the early parts of the CD tapes now. You can put that out and gain a social media audience and get your work out really quick, and then, you know, sell your singles online without, you know, anybody, you know, SoundCloud and all of these other, you know, venues out there. So, you know, I don't know. I hope there's some more mentors out there. I know they're there. I know they're out there, but I, you know, I hope that they, you know, kind of stand up and, you know, have your vault, but, you know, have your contingency plan, so to speak, so that, you know, knowing Prince, he had everything in his vault, probably a will and some directives included, not knowing that it was handed over to some arbitrary trust. you know. So, yeah, this is one of the things that we have to consider as we do go forward. You brought up an interesting, real important point months ago about how do we protect what we build, you know, and that's, you know, it's part of that networking. And even when we build our trust, even when we build our vaults, you know, we still have to network and keep each other safe in that aspect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we definitely have to look out for one another's best interests and our own. Because, like, if, you know, I always said this, like, if you shine, I shine. If I shine, you shine. And that's the approach that is missing from a lot of what our young people see. The reason why they don't have a lot of faith in, you know, the adults that are around them and previous generations, because they've seen a lot. They've experienced the microwave revolution, if you will, on a lot of levels, on communication, technology, convenience items. Like, all of that happened. You and I were high school age, but a lot of these young people that are out here now, they were born into it, you know, and bore witness to it through experience. So they've never not known there to be a black president, for example. You know, they lived through it. Like, that's what they know is Barack Obama. Like, we've got to rebuild, if you will, that bridge between us and our young people. And I really don't blame them for how some of them see the adults in their lives, because they have been let down. We have allowed them to pretty much raise themselves on a lot of standpoints, but it's not something that can't be recaptured, because if we can use social media and the convenience and technology for detriment to our culture, why can't we use it to empower our culture? And that's the whole objective and why we even have these conversations on Sign of the Times. Like, ultimately, you know, all of the energy that we've invested in this has to come back around, and it has to be able to benefit us in some sort of way. So it's a tough job. It's a tough, I guess, pill to swallow. When you look at it from different paradigms, especially when coming from the perspective of our young people. They're worth it, though, and that's the main thing. They really are worth everything that we say that we want for them and what they should want from themselves, but they've got to know better in order to be able to do better.
Ashe.
And
yeah.
I yield.
It is worth it. Yep. Our babies are worth it. Our babies are definitely worth it. Yep. Favorite song? Favorite Prince song?
Oh, shoot. International Lover. That's always up there.
Whoa.
And
right on.
Oh, yeah. And Housequake, as far as party music.
Ah, that was awesome. Yeah, I don't think I have any bad Prince songs. Let's see. From Sign of the Times, Dorothy Parker.
Kind
of more underground. But yeah, I love Dorothy Parker. It was, you know, and it is. It's about how it struck me in my life. I was kind of charting my way out into the world in my early 20s. Thought I was grown. And then and Dorothy Parker, and I was like, it made me twirl my neck. And I guess more recently, musicology. I just love the way he just, you know, brought in just these weird, you know, out of the way scenarios and just throw it out there, you know.
Yeah, he could make you want to dance even if you didn't feel like it.
I know. Yeah. I laugh because I can remember. I laugh at that because I remember being pulled into a club. My girlfriend's like, come on. I'm like, girl, I don't feel like it. You know, I'm still hungover from last weekend. I don't feel like it. Erotic City comes on. Oh, there we go.
Oh, yeah. It's on then.
Yeah. And you can't help. Your hips just start twirling. Just can't help it.
Look.
Yeah.
Well, and two, you know, as you speak of Erotic City and Prince, you know, he also wrote a lot of music. I know he wrote for Alanis Morissette and quite a few other people. And some of the songs folks aren't even aware of that he penned. And so, I mean, and there again, I mean, just talented all over the place, just oozing with it. Why do you think he was so private?
Yeah. I think one of the reasons he was so private is that I'm sure, like, with Purple Rain, that's kind of when he went really private right after that, because he was just inundated with, you know, this craziness, you know, part of that arena. And two, he went even deeper private after he waged this fight against Warner Brothers, because he knew he had to.
Mm-hmm.
He knew from Michael Jackson that he could not put himself out there to be compromised. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he guarded that like a hawk. You know, Michael Jackson, you know, bless his heart, they both were out in the community whenever and wherever they could. You know, Michael Jackson had his own issues to deal with. But, you know, Michael Jackson wanted to heal the world, and he knew it was through the kids that he could do it, you know. And
mm-hmm.
they used that against him, you know. Granted, I will say that there's certain instances when Michael came and said some things, I'm like, Michael, you know you shouldn't say that. You know, I love the kids.
Yeah, we know what we love. You know, we know everyone loves the kids, but when you
right.
say it, they're going to creep. They're going to turn it against you, which is what they did, you know. So, He didn't want to do that. He chose carefully the venues that he did give audience to, and because he knew that they were going to twist things around. In fact, it was a fight with Larry King, because he thought Larry King was outside enough, but you know, in because of who Larry King can touch, but they ended up. I don't even remember what it was, what the debate was on, but. You know, it was them then that he knew that Larry King is a little bit too mainstream. He's not going to make good of this meeting, you know. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of do have to stay guarded in that instance. You know, you had to come through the back channels in order to get, you know, into Paisley Studios, Paisley Park. You know, and I don't blame him. You know, you just don't know who has your best interest at heart. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I couldn't understand about.
No, that's okay. I was just saying, like, I just couldn't understand why he was by himself when he got sick. You know, for him to have been as under the weather as he was, I wouldn't have left. Like, he either had to put me out. You know, if I was a close, anybody that was close to him, if they just accepted him to be one of those kinds of people, I'm sure they just didn't think anything of it to leave him alone like that.
Right. Right. I mean, he's been known to have, you know, kind of a quirky personality where, you know, and it's impulsive, you know, and that went for you got that from a lot of people who interacted with him. But, like, who was it? It was one of his ex-girlfriends who came out and kind of slandered him about different things. And that'll make you become a shut-in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would. You know, I do that. I've done that over the years just from a breakup. And I ain't in the world like that. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to be bothered with nobody. I don't want anybody to, you know, hurt me like that or whatever. You just shut yourself up, you know.
Yeah. True. That's right.
Yeah. I think one of the things that unfortunately we don't, a lot of celebrities, is we don't allow them that humanness, you know. We because we have all the excuses in the world for ourselves. Yeah, I just don't feel like it, you know. My sisters would tell me, girl, you're just everywhere today, you know. Yeah, I just don't feel like it, you know. Call me tomorrow. Sometimes when you live in the fishbowl, you know, you can't, you almost feel like you can't be all of who you need and want to be.
And it was just Sheila E. was on her way. I think they're having a concert or something tonight, and I posted on my page Sheila E. And she just looks so sad, you know, going She said she had cried all the plane ride there, and that she just wanted to thank everybody for all the love and stuff that they were sending her, and that it meant a lot to her. But
yeah.
I can just imagine, like, the people closest to him, like, probably are thinking, like, I should have done this, or I could have done that. I should have insisted, you know, certain things. And but what can you do? Even say in the instance, like I said earlier, if it was a case of addiction, what can you say, mm-hmm. being an outsider? And, you know, if it was just a case of negligence where, you know, he just simply took the wrong combination or whatever, or too much of something, the end result is still the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. Like,
right.
I'm sure if it's hard for me to accept, and I'm, you know, more than probably 6 degrees of separation from him, I can just imagine what the people who were close to him are kind of experiencing right now on this first anniversary.
Yeah, you never know what people are going through. I was surreal. My family just got tired of me. I was like, is he gone? Really? He's gone? He's gone? You know?
Yeah.
Just can't believe it. And I can't imagine Sheila E. because she was probably, I guess, of the celebrities, she was probably one of the closest, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they were girlfriend boyfriend for a while. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
She knows him on several levels, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so yeah,
well,
I can't even imagine how she... Yeah. Let's get into some old music.
All right. Well, we're going to check out one of the ones that you mentioned. You're listening to Sign of the Times, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Heard about the party now, just east of Harlem. Dougie going to be there. Got to call them. Even the soldiers need a break sometimes. Listen to the groove, y'all. Let it unwind your mind. No intoxication. Let's see what I see. Dancing hot and sweaty. Right in front of me. Oh, call it what you like. I'm a woman hot beat. This is just another one of God's gifts. Got to keep the party moving, like they told you. Keep the old school joint for the true funk soldier. Musicology. Wait a minute, babe. Wish I had a dollar for every time you say. Don't you miss the feeling music gave you back in the day? September, earth, wind, and fire, hot pants by Jane, slides don't take you higher, minor keys and drums, to make a reggae jam, take your pick, turntable, or a band, but if it ain't Chuck D, jam master, they know what, they losing, cause we got a PhD in advance, by Tim Lewis.
Music College.
my stereo.
Who said I got good and plenty of what you need the most? And that's time.
Watch it now. Rocking you coast to coast. Hips and lips, chips and whips.
Alive.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Sign of the Times. Peace, Sister Andrea.
Peace. Many blessings.
Ashe, ashe. Well, so where do we go from here, Sister Andrea? What is the lesson to be learned from Prince's life?
Live your life to the fullest. No time like the present. Exploit your talents to your benefit, and protect.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just glad to have known him for the time that I have, because he was there for me when no one else was, and that will always make him special to me.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, you touched my life.
Well, hopefully this new music will, continue to touch our lives once they do actually release it. I hope Jay-Z doesn't end up with it, because it's going to get chopped and screwed into pieces. So I hope he doesn't end up with it. Oh, my gosh.
I know we'll find all of these Hard Knock Life clips.
I mean, that against Jay-Z. I mean, he all right, but I just don't. No. They've got enough.
Yeah, I know.
I hope it sticks with his family. Yeah. Stays with his family, and they benefit from it directly.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I hope they keep the music intact, kind of like what you were alluding to. I hope they do let his voice still stand and remain. Like, what was this one song, using Michael Jackson as an example, and Justin Timberlake gets hold of it, and I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
So I just hope that, he doesn't, become that type of backdrop, and just keep his work whole, and not use it just to pander for monetary gains. Because it's money. I mean, if they have a right mind about it, whoever engineering and instrumenting all of this stuff, his work will stand. It'll stand his own test of time. Prince is Prince. He's got diehard fans through and through, lifetime. So they don't have to do anything, with it. And I'm not going to have a lot of respect, honestly, for a lot of artists any artist that's going to go and splice the stuff,
mm-hmm.
or record over it, or do these, duets that they come out with, like what Justin did with Michael.
Oh,
man, there's no need for it. Yeah. So I'm not going to.
Yeah.
That's not going to get me, they can put out The Vault and Vault number of volumes 1, 2 to infinity and still have diehard fans,
Mm-hmm.
As long as they don't think they're going to, ride on, put somebody to ride on his coattail, some young starlet or, artist or, even some of the ones like Jay-Z, well-established, come and try to ride on his coattails like that.
Yeah. We've been exploited in so many ways for so long that I would hate the thought of that happening. But it's the condition that our condition is in, and the fact that I know that at one point his sister had struggled with her own issues of addiction, and his mom, and dad, had their issues. I'm just gonna miss him. That's all. And but the good thing is that music never dies. And so for those who are listening, if you get a chance to go on Facebook, there is a page there that is called Music Never Dies. And that was my tribute to Prince, because it was rough. He passed away the week after my second oldest brother did. And to have those two things happen back to back the way they did, I was already in a stage of mourning, and then I went immediately into a stage of just disbelief. Like, how can something like this happen back to back? But it
right.
did, and it's a reality of life. And so as we look at how we cope with things, you know, and how we, you know, as we said in the beginning of the broadcast, whether addiction is a result of not being able to control, you know, your environment, your situation or whatever, or is it an issue of the actual addiction itself, we have a lot to learn from this. And hopefully the truth, the real truth will come out one of these days.
Yeah, we can only hope. Yeah, it's, I mean, stress can take you into a lot of different places, a lot of strange avenues for, you know, coping. And we think we'll have it under control, you know, and addictions can take forms of anything and everything. Addiction of an action, addiction of food, addiction of, you know, drugs, you know, about the OCD is really, you know, addiction. You know, so it comes under many, many different forms, and it does ultimately result in a coping mechanism of feeling out of control in whatever segment of life it may be. Sometimes it's just an isolated point, you know, OCD, you may feel lack of control, you know, in this particular room even, you know, of your house, you know, and then so you go into it, you know, OCD. Can go on into other things where, you know, food addictions, things like that. You're just feeling a little out of control. And sometimes not so much a little, but just out of control. And this is the best way to you to gain control of your body and your actions and feel in a place that it's okay. You know, and that's why the drug addictions really just start from stress. Sometimes you'll get people that go into it for recreational purposes and then they'll get addicted. But even with the recreational purpose, it's because they found a feeling that helps them deal with a certain stress and they keep wanting to go back into it and feed it. And then the brain is looking, you know, for more and more of those endorphins to keep that feeling going. And so it just gets amped up. So it's this feedback loop that you enter into. You know, it's like once you walk into the circle, heaven forbid, you get out, you know, because you just keep feeding that loop over and over and over again.
And Sister Andreana, I know, you know, we're going to go ahead and get ready to wrap up because I know it's early in the morning there for you, and today's your off day, right?
Oh, that's never an off day. I'm going to try to tackle if my internet holds up.
Well, I want to ask you this real quick.
It's all love and life. Yeah.
Ashe, that's right. We roll with it how it come. Now, as far as the issue of addiction goes, and if a person is unsure this is something that they might actually need help with, can you talk about that process on deciding, making that decision that this has gone past where I have can say yes or no to it?
And ironically, that issue of wanting to gain control that's put you in that addictive state, that's the one thing you have to question as you come out. Can you control wanting whatever it is you're trying to do? You know, if an OCD person is constantly washing their hands, can they just walk around with their hands in their pocket for however length of time past what they normally do to get past this addiction? And that's, if someone is actually internally questioning that, that's the best way. If you can't get past it, even for one moment, because that's how to break these addiction cycles. So if it's, you know, if it's a joint in the morning, can you just wake up one morning and not have a joint? And if you can, then there's some, then you can gain control on the other end. You know, if you cannot, then, and then you can, but you can recognize it. So you're questioning it, so you're already recognizing that you may have an issue. So in questioning that, try yourself out. Can you get past that point of wanting? You know, if you're a couch potato and every night at 6 o'clock after work, you come home, turn the TV on and grab some fried chicken. If you can just get past that day and not do it, then you're recognizing
that you're reestablishing your control in that environment. If you can't and you recognize that, then you that's when you seek some ways of coping. That's when you can say, hey, I need some help with these things, some coping mechanism. And that's when you can reach out and to whomever. It can even be a family member. It can be a professional. You can reach out and say, hey, I know I have this problem, but I need some tools to work through this problem. Can you help me? You know, of course, the person who can't even recognize that there's an issue to even question until they get to that state, there's really not much you can do. You know, even putting that back to Prince, if it took one of his representatives to make a call and say, I think he has some issues, all the doctors in the world can come to his aid. But if he's saying, no, I'm still just dealing with pain from falling in this concert in 2007, then it's not much they're going to be able to do for him, to him, with him in that instance, you know. So, but again, the hopeful stance is that person is able to recognize that I may have some issues here. I may have some control issues. And at that point, if that's the case, then they're actually the best place is up, you know.
Wow. Well, I don't know, you know, how many folks might be struggling and going through, but all of us are going through something. It's just a matter of how we deal and how we cope with it. But I agree wholeheartedly with what you said about reaching out to somebody, because that's the only really way, you know. So hopefully there's somebody that you can trust enough to reach out to them and have enough confidence that they have your best interest in mind and that they aren't going to judge you or, you know, anything like that, because I think that's another thing that kind of holds people back from seeking help.
Even
if it's mental counseling or psychological help. Like we have this ism in our community that to ask for help is a sign of weakness, and it's truly not. Like we should ask for help more. But you know, again, the paradigm and the conversations need to change so that people know that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to need someone other than yourself, because that's what we're here for. Like, that's the purpose of having family and friends, so that you're never in any situation or circumstance truly, truly alone. So yeah, but I mean, this is a good conversation, Sister Andreanna, and I appreciate you, you know, because this is part of my healing process too, just dealing with everything. And
like I
said, for him to pass away so soon after my brother, it was, you know, it was a lot. It was a whole lot. So I appreciate
it. It's kind of one of those, oh, now. Yeah, I love you too.
Yeah.
It's one of those, oh, now what? You know, you're already feeling low, and it's like, really? You know,
yeah.
But yeah, that's what relationships do.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, relationship is you and I. Relationship is you and your neighbor. Relationship isn't just that boy and girl in love. Relationship is relating to one another. And, you know, if we keep the judging down to a minimum, you know, we can have discernment and know that, you know, this person may not mean you is good, you know, but that person, you know, is loving you, and go to that person, you know. So use discernment. You know, discernment meaning you don't go to a fellow addict working with your addict, because they're going to help you justify and rationalize your addiction. But in relating and honoring our relationships, there's going to always be somebody in your corner, even if they've been quiet as a church mouse in the corner watching you know, waiting for you to reach out. There really is always someone there. No one is ever truly alone. Sometimes they're waiting for you to approach them and let them know that you want the help.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So we're going to get through this together. And as the Sign of the Times, New Power Radio Network, Blacktopia, Holistic Health, Manhood, Race, and Culture, Freedom Fighting Movement, Revolutionary, Visionary Struggle.
Right on.
It's gone. It's
right
gone
on.
All come together.
The revolution will not be televised.
That's right.
It is coming
and it definitely ain't going to be on Facebook.
It's not going to be televised. It's not going to be on Facebook.
Look.
You know what? You wanted to make a rap? Do a rap on that. It will not be on Facebook. It is not going to be on social media.
People think it is, though. They're like, oh, we're going to start a revolution on this page right here. This could be
right,
the one.
Right here. Right there. Uh-huh. Everybody's going to jump on board. It's going to be right here. And, like, and that's, you know what? For our keyboard warriors, you know, that's great. But, yeah, get out in the field and do, you know, even if it is just hooking up, you know, something like, you know, I just felt, I know I got to meet, you know, certain people. I just got to meet, you know, when I come to the States, you and I, we're going to sit down and have some coffee, sister. You know, it's like, I just got to meet. You know, because that's the relationship.
That's right.
Right? You know, that's the relationship. Yeah, so.
That's right.
You know, even if it's your neighbor, you know, somebody asked on another show, how do we start to connect in our neighborhood? Go over and take a pot of coffee to your neighbor or a pot of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on the door and,
mm-hmm.
and be okay. Still, you know, it's not humiliating. It's only as humiliating as you think you've built it up to be. They may not have the time.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't got nothing to do with you. They don't have the time, but at least go and start, because then guess what? The second time you go over or the second time you wave and say hello, they're going to take note, you know. All right, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right
mm-hmm.
on. You know, so they may look at you sideways and say, oh, God, what does this person want? But if you're there, you know, they'll take note, and that's, you know, that's just kind of how it is. We are
mm-hmm.
in a society
mm-hmm.
where people are guarded. Take that first time to break the ice. That's right.
Smile and greet people and you're right. It does immediately change. Even if they don't speak back, take a chance anyway. You know, even if they act like they got the worst attitude in the world, like this girl did today, when I spoke to her, my daughter and I, we started walking in the morning. So we, you know, walked past the sister, and she was loaded down, you know, kind of heavy, and had just come up
mm-hmm.
a slight slant of a hill. So I can understand that she, you know, didn't feel like necessarily speaking, but why allow that to stop us from speaking to her, you know? And you never know what kind of impact even a small gesture like that can have on people's day and people's lives. So it all starts from somewhere.
Yep. That's
yeah,
true.
So.
And I get when I was on the plane, you know, we could start off a 5-hour flight. I'm standing there. Hey, how are you? Good morning. Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. Yada, yada, yada. And they come on and you would have think they just came on and they kicked the dog. They kicked the dog right before they got on the plane. And, you know, the panties all in a bunch, hemorrhoids going off, flaring off everywhere. That's the kind of, you know, they got this bitter beer face. You know, that's the kind of, you know, energy they're bringing on. But
mm-hmm.
really, honestly, it didn't have anything to do with me. They don't know me, so it can't have anything to do with me. So I'm just going to keep on doing what I do. I serve them a Coke or whatever. Hey, how you doing? What can I get for you? You know, and I can't tell you how many times at the end of that 5 hours or however long it was, that same person who kicked the dog before they got on came and said, you know what? I was not feeling good, and I was probably kind of pissed off, and I'm sorry, but thank you for smiling, or thank you for
mm-hmm.
making an enjoyable flight. You know, we didn't have a conversation,
okay.
You know, it was just that interaction.
Yeah.
You know, so you never know how you
That's
impact
right.
people, you know.
That's right. Well, Sister Andreana, I appreciate you, and I'm looking forward to continuing to build with you. I think that we're destined for greatness, and I tell people that all the time, that hashtag greatness is our destiny. And Black Love Matters.
Right.
You know, it's just all of this energy out here. That we as brothers and sisters exchange with one another, and we can choose to make it a good exchange, or we can choose to allow it to be a negative exchange, and there's enough negativity in the world. So I think with the rise in the feminine energy in the universe and the planetary alignments, that things are going to start to come to fruition that we don't even have a clue of yet. So I'm looking
right on,
forward
yeah.
to what the future holds for all of us.
Me too.
Well, I'm going to go
Me
ahead and close
up.
Out.
Looking forward.
I say, with a Prince classic. So have a good weekend, everybody. Sister Andreana, let me know. I'm going to reach out to Sister, to Deborah, to my little cousin, with Abnormal this week and see if they're available for next Friday. But just in case they're not, just let me know what you would like to, you know, talk about next week, and we can get the promo ready as soon as we confirm with Deborah or Mel. So I hope you have a good weekend, and give me a call if you need me.
Always, sister. I'll be in touch. You know I will.
Ashe, Ashe. All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and sign off for this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the Sign of the Times New Power Radio Network family. You hear my grandbaby in the background. Aria turned 2 yesterday. Yay, happy birthday, Chubbles. She does not like the happy birthday song, Andreon. She strokes out with the happy birthday song. Doesn't she, Mariah? She does not.
Reach back and give her Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, but she don't like none of them. We tried the Elmo version. She said the Stevie Wonder version. Happy birthday. She don't like that one either. Yeah, so, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, she's shy. She won't like all eyes on her. She a clown for you to laugh at her when she dances and stuff, but she ain't on that birthday song stuff.
That's okay, then. Get up and dance with her.
There you go. Say bye, Troubles.
Bye.
All right, everybody. We're going to go ahead and sign off for tonight. Enjoy this last joint by Prince. May he rise in peace, rest in peace, and may music never die. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll see you on Tuesday with our dynamic brother from Genocide, Elementary Genocide Part 3, Raheem Shabazz, is going to be joining us. So we look forward to having that conversation with him. In the meantime, go to YouTube and search him, Raheem Shabazz, Elementary Genocide, and this is Part 3 of his series. Check it out. Check out Part 1 and 2, and he is seeking some additional sponsorship and help to complete 3. So I'm sure Tuesday's conversation is going to be off the chain. So we'll see you then. Signing off for the weekend. This is Queen Tahira. I love you guys. Peace.
Peace and blessings. Mm-hmm.